It works. You know, the Word of God is the Word of God. It doesn't matter where you live.
No matter where you live or where you're from, the Word of God will work in your life. Be set free with the truth of the Word on today's Believer's Voice of Victory with Kenneth Copeland and his guest Rick Renner. Now, here's Kenneth.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. I'm Kenneth Copeland. Let's have a word of prayer, and we'll get right back into the book of Revelation with Rick Renner today. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you. Thank you for sending Brother Rick to us. We receive his anointing that you've placed in him and on him. We open our hearts to you, sir. We open our minds to receive revelation from heaven, and one word from heaven changes everything.
Yes.
And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Rick, amen. God bless you, sir.
Thank you, Brother Copeland.
I'm excited, more than just a loose way of using that word. I'm energized by what the Lord has been dealing with me and revealing to me here just in recent months about the place we're in. And we're not watching the destruction of the United States of America. We're watching the death of that Babylonian socialistic system that's been attacking this nation for over 100 years. Mm. That thing's dying. It's dying all over the world. People don't know what to do about it. But there's a whole bunch of millions of believers out here all over the world that have been believing God, being taught and learning how to live by faith and walk by faith, that God is our source, and he's begun to teach us heavenly, biblical economics. God has somebody to turn his nations over to.
Hmm.
And this final, what I believe to be final, I know it's final in my lifetime, that this final press of God in the earth to fill his house and get this thing over with. And we're right there.
Praise God.
Oh, listen, Rick, I'm telling you, I'm more energized about it and eager to see things go on in progress. Let's get on with this thing than I've ever been in my life. Mm. And you are a key part of that. Because here is an American that has proven that the word of faith and the prosperity of God will work under terrible economic conditions. The worst shape the Eastern Europe was ever in was mm-hmm. when God sent you there and just prospered you right on along, right in the middle of it. And now there are thousands and thousands and thousands of people, over 800 churches that God has raised up. And there you, Pastor, right there in Moscow, I mean, in the shadow of the Kremlin, and God just prospering you and just going right on. The big thing is, he's not sending the money to you out of the United States. He's prospering the people. The people are prospering.
He is.
That's exciting.
People,
man,
believe it, they grab it, they do it.
And they do it.
They do it.
You'll like this. I got a letter from a woman that came from, if I remember, don't hold me to this, but I think she was in Ukraine.
Okay.
And it was part of your and my ministry in that part of the world. And I had just mentioned in a message, I really didn't bring much light on about the fact that God, by faith, had blessed us with airplanes and how much more we were doing because of them. She wrote me a letter. Brother Copeland, I don't know what I'd do with an airplane. I don't have any place to keep it. I really don't have anywhere I need to go. And besides, if I did, I don't have nobody to drive it. Now, she sent me all that. But if you believe God wants me to have an airplane, pray, we'll get it. Here's somebody with no place to go, no place to keep it, and had no idea what she needed with it, nobody to drive it. But if you think God wants me to have one, let's pray. I'll get it.
You know, Brother Copeland, they had such a loss during the Soviet years that when they've come out of this, they are ready. I mean, they don't want to go back where they've been. And if you tell them to believe for something, they will believe.
It's not a question about, well, I don't know whether I need that or not, or blah, 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 blah. It's just, hey, if that's what the book says, let's get it. That's what impressed me so. Every time I've preached there, Rick, hey, let's do it. If we're supposed to do that, are we authorized to do that? Yeah, let's do it.
Mm-hmm.
And one woman talking about, She lived in those so sorry cold water flats as long as she was going to. And she just said, I don't care if I'm supposed to have a house or not. God said I can have one, I'm going to have one. And they, you know, they write us, they do the same to you. Mm-hmm. They write these long letters about this. And it just absolutely, it just thrills your heart. Because it's working right in the midst of the best the devil could do.
We just had a hysterical testimony service in our church where we told people to give testimonies, to raise their hands, if they had received a house, an apartment, or property in the last year. Brother Copeland, it was like the wheat field waving in the wind. I mean, hands went up everywhere.
Oh, my goodness.
And people started telling, one woman said, I believed God for one apartment. Don't know how it happened, but I got two. I mean, just one after
and
another.
And people here don't realize what that is. I mean, that's bigger than impossible.
It works. You know, the Word of God is the Word of God. It doesn't matter where you live.
It works better, not weaker, the harder times or locations get. Because God make a Garden of Eden out of anything.
That's the truth.
It's not his problem.
That's true.
Not the fact he doesn't want you to have it. If he didn't want anybody to have the Garden of Eden, he wouldn't have created it. But if you'll believe him for it, I mean, you wake up one of these mornings and you're not really sure how he did it all, but you say, hey, mama, look at this. I tell you what, it's marvelous. Anyway, let's go back to the book of Revelation. I want to get back in there where you were
yesterday. All
right,
yesterday.
Let's go. Now, you closed. You were right down to verse 10 there.
All right, you want to start there?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, Revelation, let's read verse 9 again. Revelation chapter 1, verse 9. John's writing to his readers, and he says, I, John, who also am your brother, we discussed that yesterday, and companion in tribulation and kingdom in the patience of Jesus Christ. And then we stopped with this little phrase, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus. Then in verse 10, John continues, and he says, and I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. But that's reading from the King James translation, and there are several things that are different in the Greek. For instance, the King James translation says, I was in the Spirit. The word thee you should mark out. There's no definite article in the Greek. It just says, I was in Spirit. The capital S in the King James translation should be a lowercase s.
Mm-hmm.
John's not saying he was in the Holy Spirit. John's talking about another dimension.
Wow.
Now, if you remember in the program 2 days ago, we talked about what is a revelation. The word revelation is apocalypsis. It describes the veil being parted where suddenly you can see what's on the other side. And Brother Copeland, the truth is, you and I right now in this studio are sitting in the spirit realm.
Yes.
We just don't see it. But in one split second, if the Spirit of God chose to pull that veil apart, we would see into another realm. And now when we come to verse 10, John says, I was, the Greek literally says, I was in spirit. And that word was is the Greek word genomai. And I want to give you two examples of that word so you'll understand. For instance, in Mark chapter 4, when the Bible talks about Jesus being out in the middle of the lake, and it says, and there came about a storm of wind, it's the word genomai.
For storm?
Came about.
Oh, came about.
We don't know where it came from, took us completely off guard, took us by surprise. element of surprise.
I see.
Acts chapter 10, Peter went up on the rooftop not to have a vision. He was waiting for lunch. And while he was there, he fell into a trance, fell into is the same word, the word genomai. It means, I don't know how it happened. It was the last thing I would have expected, but I came to find myself in another dimension. And now John says the same things. Well, we already know from verse 9, he was in the Isle of Patmos. And notice that, Brother Copeland, not on the isle, he was
in it.
In it. He was in that cave. Now in verse 10, he says, I was in the spirit, the Greek word genomai. I don't know how I got there. It wasn't something I did by anything of my own action, but somehow, in some way, I suddenly came to find myself standing in another dimension. Possibly he was praying. And suddenly the Holy Spirit parted that veil. Here's the revelation. And John crossed that line that is so thin. And he found himself standing, no longer in that cave, but standing in another dimension.
That's how close it is.
It's right here.
The scripture is very clear about walking in the Spirit. And then it says, brethren, you are in the Spirit. Well, there's an idea that, well, if I could just get my flesh to quit, if I could just get this or get that, then I could be in the Spirit. No, it says walk in the Spirit and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. And this revelation is so important. I don't care what you're going through. I don't care if you're having to spend every day for the next 6 weeks in court because of this or that bad deal. I don't care if you're in the hospital. I don't care where you are. I don't care what kind of mess your children are in. I don't care what it is. If you will begin to be aware of the Word rather than your flesh, the scripture said that Abraham considered not his flesh.
Mm-hmm.
It was there. He had just as much of it as anybody else. But this is not what he considered. This is not what he put his thinking on. This is not what he put his mind on. He put his mind on the Word. There is now no condemnation. Now. It's now every time you read it. Romans 8:1. There is now no condemnation to them who walk not after the flesh, who walk are not dominated and dictated to by their five physical senses, what they can see, what they can smell, circumstances, feel, and all that, but by the Spirit, by the Word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. This is the Spirit of God. And when you've got when your consciousness is on Him, I don't care how bad your situation is. He was already in that other dimension because he lived by faith. That's where we live. We seek the kingdom of God. We seek the kingdom of God on Patmos just the same as we do somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
You in Moscow, me in Fort Worth.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same kingdom. Produces the same results.
Mm-hmm.
And it's only a breath away from the curtain being pulled back.
You know, many years ago, Denise and I were really seeking God about our ministry, and one night I got up in the middle of the night and I was walking back and forth in a room praying in tongues. And I can relate to John's experience, because when I opened my eyes, I found myself standing in another dimension. And every time I read this, I relate to it so entirely. John just opened his eyes and found himself somewhere else. He was standing in that other dimension. Maybe if somebody else had seen John, they could see him standing in the cave. But John didn't see the cave. John had been ushered into another realm.
You know, Rick, even if the Lord doesn't take you across that line where everything just disappears and you're in heaven itself or something, even if he doesn't do that, in your prayer time, and your praise time, your worship time. There are times when your surroundings, I don't care what the problems are, they go away, and you're more aware of He is Lord, mm-hmm. and His power and His workings, and you get up from that place and your physical senses weren't suspended, but you're in spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And He reveals things inside you. It's just as real as if you saw Him with your flesh, even more so.
It's almost like you're raptured into something.
Yeah, it is. You get that rapture to carry away. Yeah, people say, you just got carried away. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I'll take all the carrying away I can get when it's in God and in His Word.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it precious that Jesus would do that?
It is.
Think what happened to the Apostle Paul, worst enemy Jesus had on the earth at the time. Think what he was doing. A confessed murderer.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he confessed to Jesus. In the book of Acts, he recalls it. He confessed to Jesus that he killed people, and it was bothering him. Jesus didn't even answer him about it. He just went on telling him what he wanted him to go do.
Hmm.
But when he said, and this goes back to what John was talking about here, and this is... I'm purposely pulling something out of you that when Jesus said, first thing the Apostle Paul said, shortest salvation prayer on record, Lord!
That's it.
And once he said, Lord, Jesus never mentioned his sin again.
That's true.
He said, Lord, who are you? Now, if he'd have said, who are you? You might be Lord. No. That wouldn't have worked. Lord, who are you?
Yeah.
Jesus said, I am Jesus, the one you're persecuting. He wasn't persecuting Jesus. He was persecuting the people that followed him. Jesus took that very, very personally.
Mm-hmm.
John is taking this to the people very, very personally. Jesus personally showed up with his angel to reveal to John himself.
Mm.
It ain't like the man just now finding out about him. I mean, here's a man that walked with him for many, 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 many years. But yet he's still revealing himself to him.
Mm.
And why did he come there? Well, he came because of the churches and the seven messages and all of that, and the end time and all of that. But why did he come there? Because he loved John,
mm-hmm.
and because he loved me. And in the Spirit, one of these days, these two men are going to be sitting around a table in Fort Worth, Texas, talking about this, and they need to know me just because he loved us. And he does it just because he loves you.
Amen.
It's the only reason he does anything. So you can get in that love any moment of any day, regardless of the circumstance.
And Brother Copeland, the day that this happened was on the Lord's Day. Now, I remember when I was a kid, I always thought that meant it happened on Sunday, because I thought the Sabbath was Sunday. I didn't know the Sabbath was actually Saturday. But guess what? It's all wrong. It's not the Sabbath and it's not Sunday. This really surprised me. The word Lord's Day is the Greek word kuriakos. That word does not refer to Sunday. It does not refer to the Sabbath. It was only used one way. It was only used during the rule of Domitian. When Domitian...
Really? Only during his reign? I didn't know
that. It was his word. And on the first day of every month, that day was called kuriakos. And that was the emperor's day. And that was the day when everyone was supposed to go to a temple of Domitian to worship. So the day that Jesus made this appearance, John is in his cave. Now think about how our flesh works. Great, here I am in a cave. The whole world is worshiping Domitian today. This is Domitian's day. And here I am in a cave that's stuck under the temple of Diana on this island of Patmos. And all of a sudden, John finds himself in another realm on the Emperor's Day, when the real commander-in-chief, the real emperor on Emperor's Day, steps into the cave almost as if to say, if you want to know who's in charge, here I am.
He was in the cave because of that emperor.
That's right. And Jesus...
He put him there.
Jesus made his imperial appearance on that specific day.
You know what? This marks my thinking. Here they are. They threw him away.
Mm-hmm.
They realized that emperor realized he couldn't kill him. He tried to. He deep fried him and didn't kill him. So he didn't boil him in oil. So he decided, we get him out of my face. I don't want to ever hear from him again. Throw him away.
Precisely.
Make him the most insignificant human being on the face of the earth. Just throw him away. And he wrote the book of Revelation. I think it's just God's wonderful sense of humor. But at the same time, who's Lord here?
And Jesus steps into that cave.
Who's
show.
Lord?
Yeah. He is Lord.
Yeah.
And John says, and I heard behind me a great voice. The word heard is the word akouo. It's where the word for acoustics. So suddenly John in the spirit realm is so attuned. He's hearing things. And he says, I hear a great voice. Great is mega. The word voice is phone. It's where we get the word for a
megaphone.
So this was a massive, massive voice. He says, it was as a trumpet. Sam, I'm Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. What you see, write in a book and send to the seven churches which are in Asia, Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, Laodicea. And I turned, I love this. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me. Well, no one turns to see a voice. You turn to see a person. If my mother was behind me and I heard her voice, I would know it's my mother because I know my mother's voice.
Yes, you do.
John heard a voice. He knew that voice. He remembered it was Jesus, and he turned to see the voice that was speaking to him. And being turned, he saw Christ standing in the middle of seven golden candlesticks. And boy, when we come back, I'd like to start
wow.
right there.
Wow. Praise God. Standing in the middle of the churches.
Unashamed.
Unashamed
to be associated with the church.
He belonged there.
He belonged.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yes, it is wonderful.
And you get all the way down to the fact that it's wonderful that the catching away, and we'll meet him in the air, and we will be with him. But then you have to remember, he's coming back here.
Yes.
And God himself is coming back here. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, glory to God. Yeah, that's where we got to start.
All right.
Rick and I'll be back in just a moment.
Come to these exciting meetings. Kenneth and Gloria Copeland will be in Langley, British Columbia for the Canada Victory Campaign, celebrating 35 years in Canada, May 12th through 14th at the Langley Events Center. The Southwest Believers Convention will be held the 4th through 9th of July, 2011 at the Fort Worth Convention Center in Fort Worth, Texas, with Kenneth and Gloria Copeland and their special guests. Join Kenneth Copeland for the Venezuela Victory Campaign in Maracaibo, Estado de Zulia, Venezuela, August 26th and 27th. Kenneth Copeland and Dr. Stephen and Kelly Swisher invite you to the Behind the Mission Weekend in New Jersey, September 16th and 17th at the Meadowlands Exposition Center. Pastor Terry Pearsons will be at the Toronto Spirit-Led Prayer Conference, September 28th through 30th, Toronto, Ontario, Canada. For more information on these and other KCM meetings, call 800-600-7395. That's 800-600-7395. Or visit our website at kcm.org.
Friday is always offering day on the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast, just like Rick and I were talking just during the break. The reason that's always offering day on the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast is because that's what the Lord said. Actually, Rick, I didn't intend to ever receive an offering back when I went on the radio, and I told the Lord, I said, look, I don't need to receive offerings. I don't like that whole idea. There's many religious cons on radio and all that. I don't even want any part of that. Gloria and I can just set ourselves in agreement according to Matthew 18, and that's that. He said, no, that's not that. That's wrong. It's unscriptural. He said, the way they are receiving it is unscriptural, but it's not unscriptural to receive the offering, because when you receive something that somebody has sown into your life and you open your heart for it and you receive it, he said, what causes the blessing to manifest? The receiving or the giving? He said, it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. Why? Because it's the giving that causes the receiving. Hmm. And he said, now you put pressure on them, and he said, I'll have to get on you about it. But he said, in the Galatians chapter 6, let him that's taught in the word communicate or respond to him that teaches in all good things. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Then he talks about sowing to his flesh, of his flesh he reaps corruption. Well, he had already said the harvesting of the flesh, so there had to be seed sown to it to get to harvest, are these. But then he said the fruit of the Spirit are these. So he said, if you sow to the Spirit, then you reap Zoe, life of God. So that word goes into you and you receive it gladly. But when you sow into that messenger's life and ministry or anywhere else the Lord tells you to sow, when you obey God in that, that's when the roots take hold. You remember when Jesus talking about they received it gladly, fourth chapter of Mark, and he said, but they had no root in themselves. Mm-hmm. Well, of course, that's the root we're talking about. It's when the word gets rooted in there, and he's talking about the being rooted and grounded in love. So pray about it, obey God, and as you sow it, expect the harvest from it all over the world to help minister to you. God bless you all. Listen, go to church this weekend. Then next week, Rick's going to be back, and we're going to get right back into these things again. Amen. And when you're in Moscow, you know where to go to church. Amen. Praise God. We'll see you then. And remember this, Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us on the Believer's Voice of Victory. For today's broadcast on DVD or CD, our product offer, or for more information on Kenneth Copeland Ministries, visit our website at kcm.org. While you're online, you'll discover a resource of faith-based teaching and free information to help you find the answers you're looking for. If you need prayer, call Kenneth Copeland Ministries prayer line today. When you walk by faith, everything is going to be all right.